Come tonight to our studies in the larger catechism, and we're continuing with the subject of prayer. Tonight we're looking at question 190, but our text for tonight is to be found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And verse 9. Matthew 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So we're looking tonight at the first petition, hallowed be thy name. And that is question 190 in the larger catechism. What do we pray for in the first petition? In the first petition, which is, hallowed be thy name, acknowledging the utter inability and indisposition that is in ourselves and all men to honour God aright, we pray that God would by his grace enable and incline us and others to know, to acknowledge, and highly to esteem him, his titles, attributes, ordinances, word, works, and whatsoever he is pleased to make himself known by, and to glorify him in thought, word, and deed, that he would prevent and remove atheism, ignorance, idolatry, profaneness, and whatsoever is dishonourable to him, and by his overruling providence, direct and dispose of all things to his own glory. So then we're continuing to look at the great example that we have, the great pattern that we have for prayer in the Lord's Prayer. Last week we looked at the preface. Our Father which art in heaven, the one we are addressing, how right at the very beginning we are to call upon the name of the Lord and to acknowledge who he is, claim this relationship of children with the Father, and yet at the same time acknowledge that he is not some earthly father, but he is the great, majestic, exalted, glorious Father in heaven. So we come tonight to the first petition. There are these six petitions, of course, in the prayer. The first petition is, hallowed be thy name. Let God's name be magnified, glorified, adored. Let everyone bow the knee before him. Let all acknowledge him. Do thou be great, Lord, and do thou enable us to see thy greatness and to respond appropriately to it. Let all bow the knee before our great God. So first of all then, what is meant by this word hallowed? Hallowed means holy. Let it be holy. And holy means separate. Separate from sin, yes. but separate from everything. Let God be separate from you and me, from the world around us, even from the angels. Let him be so high, so great, so glorified. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And all the angels in heaven bowed before him, and all cast their crowns at his feet. Glorious, majestic, magnificent God. Some vessel that we were taking to the temple was to be hallowed. That meant it would be set apart from an earthly use to a heavenly use. Set apart from use in our homes and our houses, it was set apart for the sanctuary, for God and for the things of God. Sanctified, set apart. And so we are asking that God's name be sanctified and set apart. As Christians, we hate to see God's name profaned, don't we? When you hear people cursing and swearing, taking the name of the Lord in vain, it bothers you, doesn't it? You feel uneasy. You feel upset by it. And rightly so. As those who love God, as those who honor and worship him, we hate to hear him blasphemed. And when you hear people mocking God and making fun of God or of the things of God, it troubles you. Hallowed be thy name. We don't want to see God's name trampled underfoot or God mocked. Hallowed be thy name. But then, what is the name of God? What is involved in his name? The name of God is all by which he makes himself known. So the name of God, first of all, is his proper name. We call him God or Lord or Jehovah. These are proper names for God. But then there are titles for God, like Lord, King, Master, Creator, Ruler, Judge, Redeemer. These are titles that we give to God. And then there's the attributes of God by which he makes himself known. The Holy One, the Loving One, the Powerful One, the Almighty, the Eternal, the Omniscient, who knows everything, the Omnipresent, who's everywhere present. These attributes of God by which he makes himself known. And then we're told that there's his ordinances. What are his ordinances? Well, there's baptism. He has ordained baptism. And there's the Lord's Supper. And there's the church worship. That's an ordinance of God. There's marriage, isn't there? A creation ordinance that God has given to us. So these ordinances are things by which he makes himself known. And then there's his word, the Bible, the Holy Bible. We reverence the Bible, don't we? Now, you know the way the Muslims, they reverence the Quran. They treat it with great respect. They place it upon the highest shelf in their houses. They wouldn't think of putting anything on top of the Quran. It's treated with great honor and respect. I remember a friend of mine telling me how he'd been witnessing to a Muslim and promised to give this Muslim a Bible. He was driving along the road and he saw the Muslim man, and he stopped and he rummaged in his in his glove compartment of the car, and he brought out this Bible to give to the Muslim. He said, no. The word must be treated with respect. It shouldn't be tucked away in a glove compartment. But you see, the Muslim, they respect the paper. And they respect the print. But what we are to respect is not the paper and the print, but the word of the Lord that is there. And we respect God's word by reading it. Some people think, oh, they give their Bible a place in their house. It's on the shelf there and it's dusted every day. But what good is that? That's not reverence to God's word. Reverence to God's word is to take it down from the shelf and read it and think about it and meditate on it and put it into practice in your life. Believe it and obey it. So we are to pray reverence to God's word and to honor it. And then also is mentioned here the works of God. God's works are creation and providence and redemption. Creation. How excellent in all the earth, Lord, our Lord is thy name, who has made the stars, the glory of them, the sun, the moon, the beauties of the world around us. We honor the Creator. We see his hand in life. We see the beauty of the birds, the wonder of the flowers in the garden. We appreciate these things because we see them as coming from our Creator. But then there are so many people today, and they think creation just happened by chance. There was a big bang, and there was some kind of natural selection, and bit, by some sort of evolution, the world in all its beauty and mystery and balance and glory just happened by chance. Oh, how evolution is a mockery and a rebellion against the Creator God. The God of providence, he rules in this world. Some people mock the God of providence by gambling, chance, games, and putting in their bets in this way, and they fail to recognize that God is the God who has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass, the God who rules. There's no such thing as luck or chance. All things happen according to the will of God. And God's work of redemption, the cross, the resurrection, God's works, the glory of them. So we're told here how we are to esteem very highly God, his titles, attributes, ordinances, word, works, and whatsoever he is pleased to make himself known by. He makes himself known by the church. He makes himself known by the Sabbath. He makes himself known by the witness of God's people. And we are to reverence everything that is associated with God and by which he makes himself known. But then we notice here that in the first petition, hallowed be thy name, acknowledging the utter inability and indisposition that is in ourselves and in all men to honor God aright. So this catechism talks about inability and indisposition. Now, not all God's creatures are unable to hallow his name. The angels in heaven, they suffer from no inability in this. They hallow God's name. And those who are saints in glory, those Christians who've gone to heaven, they have no imperfection or inability when it comes to glorifying God. They're able to do it perfectly and fully and to worship him appropriately. But there are other creatures. Devils cannot worship God or glorify him. They're rebels, cast out of heaven, and they're full of hatred and spend their lives fighting against God and trying to take away the glory of God. They're total enemies. And the unconverted also, they're not as great enemies as the devils are because of common grace restricting and restraining them, but they are still full of enmity against God. We will not have this man to reign over us. We don't want this God ordering our lives. We want to do our own thing. We want to go our own way. Man in the pride of his own heart. Totally unable because he is dead in sin. And totally indisposed because of the enmity and hatred of his heart towards God. Polluted, depraved, slaves to sin and to Satan, full of resentment against God's law and God's gospel. Prepared to worship anything, stocks and stones, the sun, the moon, the stars, making golden calves for themselves and bowing down to it. Man making gods for himself instead of worshipping the living and true God. Worshipping money, worshipping jobs, worshipping fame, worshipping power. Worshipping himself in the pride of his heart. An inability and indisposition to worship the true God, the only real God. But what about you and me? Do we have an inability and indisposition? Well, we've been converted. We've been born again. We have a new heart. We have been changed. But yet, we fail, don't we? We want to worship God, but sadly, so often, we come short. Yes, we're not totally depraved. Oh no, we have been born again. We are spiritual people. But yet there's the flesh. And there's the devil. And there's the world around us, tempting us, alluring us, dragging us back. It's so hard for us, but at least there's a battle going on. We're fighting against our sin, the roots of corruption that is there, the flesh within us, fighting against sin, fighting against Satan, longing to worship God, longing to adore him, wishing that we loved him more, wishing that we kept his commandments better. We struggle, but we do honor him. Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. I don't love you as much as I want to, or as much as I should do. But Lord, you know I love you, and I want to honor you. And there's nothing gives me greater cause for joy than to see you being honored and being glorified. Yes, we wish to glorify him, and we do glorify him when we praise him, when we worship him, when we are obedient to his commandments, when we're consistent in our lives, when we reject idols, when we crucify the flesh, when we pray and when we praise, we are hallowing his name, but not as one day we will when we're perfect. So as Christians then, yes, we're seeking to hallow his name. And then we're praying too for the unconverted. We're praying for them that they will be converted, that they will also submit to God, that they will love God, that they will come to bow the knee before him and to join us in worshiping him and in praising him from the heart, not just in an outward hypocritical kind of worship, but in real heart love and enthusiasm and zeal for the Lord. We're troubled when we see the unconverted sinning, and when we see them breaking God's law, when we hear them cursing, when we see them profaning the Sabbath, it grieves us. When we're aware of them murdering the unborn child, desecrating the ordinance of marriage that God has given to us. So we pray for the unconverted that they would hallow God's name. And we pray for ourselves as Christians and our fellow Christians. We pray that Christians would be holy and humble and loving and consistent in their lives, and that they would progress in sanctification so that more and more, as the days go by, they would hallow God's name so that the truth would be known by them. We look at the churches today, and there's so much ignorance of God in the churches. So such a need for reformation in all the churches, and such a need for revival. Hallowed be thy name, by reformation in the churches, by revival and new life coming to the churches. And so, to acknowledge and to highly esteem God. To acknowledge and to highly esteem. We start with knowledge. Knowledge is so important, it's vital. We think of Old Testament times when only the Israelites had knowledge of God. How sad it was to think of all Africa, of all Europe, of all America, North and South, and all Australia in pagan darkness. No one hallowing the name of God, but all profaning his name. How important it is to make known the name of the Lord. Yes, creation reveals God, but only so dimly to fallen man. We need more than creation. We need the written word, the preached word. Oh, that the name of the Lord would be hallowed across the whole world. Even today, there's such ignorance of the gospel. In many countries, Muslim countries, there's scarcely anyone who knows about the Trinity, who knows about the Son of God dying on the cross to save sinners and rising again, who knows about forgiveness of sin and peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So, such ignorance. So, yes, we're praying, hallowed be thy name. May it be hallowed right across the world. May people everywhere come to know, and not just to know, but to acknowledge God, to acknowledge the truth, to give God his place, to acknowledge him as creator instead of thinking that the world somehow came into being by its own powers and laws and abilities. Acknowledging God as the ruler of the world and the law of God as binding upon all of us, acknowledging that God is judge, that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. Acknowledging the gospel, the Saviour, the only Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is none other name given under heaven among men through whom we must be saved. To acknowledge and to highly esteem, to value, to see God as the greatest, the most glorious, to acknowledge and esteem our dependence upon Him for providence, His most holy, wise, and powerful ruling, governing this world, God's providence, and highly esteeming Christ and the gospel and salvation by the blood. We need God. Our lives are empty without God. There's a great big hole at the center of our hearts if we don't have God. And you look around and you see the unconverted, and you see people without God and without hope. You see them depressed and desperate in a time such as this, the COVID virus going around. You see the emptiness of their lives, running after the pub and the nightclub and the cinema and the casino and all these things, that the football that they set their hearts on, and these things taken from them. Oh, the emptiness of the unconverted. How much we need to highly esteem God and give to Him our hearts, the center place in our hearts. To glorify Him in thought, word, and deed, thinking highly of Him, meditating upon Him. People are often taken up with the wonderful things people can do. And you see YouTubes, you see there all these different little videos of wonderful things people can do with a football maybe, or maybe with a bike. I saw the other day some girl who could do all kinds of things, dancing on this bike, then standing on the handlebars, and then doing handstands on the saddle, and all sorts of amazing things. And people are all caught up with these wonderful things that people can do, but it's all so trivial in comparison to God, the infinitely great and glorious God, the greatest celebrities of this world. Are just little spiders in comparison to God. Infinite, eternal, unchangeable in His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. God Almighty, God who reigns in heaven, God who made all things out of nothing by the breath of His mouth. He said it, and it happened. Let us glorify God in our thoughts, thinking highly of Him. He's the greatest. Meditating upon Him, upon His word, teaching ourselves and others. Praying, praising. Instead of rubbish daydreams, let God fill our thoughts and our minds, glorifying God in words, speaking to one another, edifying each other, speaking together the praises of the Lord, singing praises, praying together, preaching the word, witnessing to sinners, glorifying God and hallowing His name in our words, and also in our deeds. If we give a cup of cold water in the name of Christ to a disciple, we've done something wonderful. And Jesus says, on the judgment day, I will say to some, I was hungry and you gave me bread. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. I was naked and you clothed me. In that you did it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. So in our deeds we hallow the name of God. We honor and glorify God by doing all to the glory of God, doing all in the name of Christ, doing everything in obedience to his word. And so then, we are to prevent and remove atheism. Atheism was never commoner than it is today. In the past, people believed in a god, maybe many gods, some god. But today there's lots of people and they say, I don't believe in anything. When you die, that's it. You go out like a candle, that's the end. There's nothing to it. There's nothing up there. There's no God. There's no supernatural. Materialists, atheists, secularists, so many of them. But you and I, we're praying that God's name would be hallowed. That atheists would see the folly of their atheism and be convinced of how ridiculous it is to argue against their own conscience, to argue against the voice of God in their own hearts, to argue against the obvious revelation of God in creation, and to argue against the history of God and his works, and to argue against the Church of God and the preaching of the gospel. Prevent and remove atheism. Many atheists, and there's many practical atheists. Practical in the sense that they say they believe in God, but they live as if there was no God. And there's plenty like that around us. Neighbors who, on the one hand, they will acknowledge that there's a God, but he makes no difference to their lives. Practical atheists. Hallowed be thy name, Lord. Convince the atheists that thou art there and that you are to answer. They are to answer to you, the living and true God. Prevent and remove ignorance. Even Christians today are so ignorant. There's so little faithful preaching. Sermons in many churches are so short. The content is perhaps just a little story, some little thought for the day to make you feel good. And all the wonderful teaching of the Bible is ignored. Hallowed be thy name. May it be hallowed by ministers. May it be hallowed in the churches. A rediscovery of the truth. May it be hallowed as Christians realize the importance of serious reading and study and growing in knowledge instead of accepting a bare minimum kind of Christianity, a bare minimum of knowledge. That he would prevent and remove atheism and ignorance, the ignorance of the world outside, but ignorance in the church too, and prevent idolatry, the idolatry of Hinduism with all its gods, and the idolatry of those who have a false god like Allah, the Muslims. The idolatry of the Roman Catholics who worship the Virgin Mary and who worship the bit of the wafer, the bread of the Mass, and claim that it's God, that worship a cross bowing before it. Idolatry, that God's name would be hallowed so that idolatry would be removed and that profaneness would be removed. Cursing, swearing, even Christians sometimes profane the name of God by what's called minced swears or oaths. Instead of using the name God in vain, they use the name golly or gosh or goodness or whatever it is, but something that sounds just like God and really is just another kind of expression that takes God's name in vain. Profaneness, profaning the Sabbath. Does it not grieve us when we see people doing all sorts of things on the Sabbath instead of a holy resting and keeping it holy unto the Lord? Esau was a profane man who sold his birthright, the spiritual birthright, for a plate of soup. Profaneness. And whatsoever is dishonorable to him, whatever dishonors God, all ungodliness, all immorality, all lying, all violence, all crime, all homosexuality, lesbianism, transsexualism, all the rest of that is so contrary to God's word and the teachings of the scriptures. We want God's name to be hallowed, to be honored and adored, recognized, and by his overruling providence, direct and dispose of all things to his own glory. God's providence is at work in the world today. What is COVID-19 but God's providence? And our politicians deny it, and our scientists deny it, and our public denies it. And they think, oh, well, it's no big deal. We'll get a vaccine, we'll sort it all out, and then we'll get the economy sorted out. And they think that there is no God, and there's none that we have to deal with, and that God won't bring them to see the folly of their ways, and that God's judgment will not come upon them. How foolish. Well, many will continue dumb and stupid as far as God is concerned through this life, charging, as it were, into the pit of hell. But the day of judgment is coming, and the wrath of God will descend upon them. We pray for God's name to be hallowed, that God would direct his providence to his own glory and to the good of his church, and that the plan of God would be worked out in this world, disposing of all things in such a way as that God's name would be recognized and exalted, worshipped and adored. Just very briefly, as I close, I want to make reference to Thomas Watson's chapter on this in his book on the Lord's Prayer. There he gives 16 ways in which God's name can be hallowed. I'll just run through them very briefly. Something to think about and to take with you. We hallow God's name by professing faith in him. It's a duty for us to profess faith in him, to take our stand on his side, by thinking highly of him, by trusting in God. We hallow God's name by mentioning his name with veneration, with reverence always. We hallow God's name by loving his name, by giving him worship, by hallowing a Sabbath day, by ascribing glory to God in all that we do, by obeying Him, by praising Him, by grieving when His name suffers. When we glorify the Son as we glorify the Father, we hallow His name. By standing for the truths of God's Word, by seeking to make converts to Christ and Christianity, by preferring the honoring of His name more than anything else. And finally, we hallow God's name by living a holy life. May that be true of us all. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we pray that Thou wouldst help us more and more to hallow Thy name, to make it holy and wonderful and great and glorious. Help us, Lord, to worship Thee in heart, in word, in deed, to exalt and magnify Thy name. Oh, may Thy name be hallowed among the heathen. May it be hallowed in our country. May it be hallowed in the denominations of our land. May it be hallowed in our own church and in our own congregation. Help us, O Lord, to hallow Thy name by living a holy, godly life in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.